All right, get your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalms 150. Psalms 150. Continuing a series of discipleship lessons to grow your faith. If you intend to grow as a Christian, you need to have a solid foundation. Without a solid foundation, you could grow incorrectly and grow in the wrong direction. We could fall prey to false doctrine. It's important that we have a solid foundation. Now, I am not the final authority when it comes to doctrine. The Bible is, not me. And I'm just a spokesperson. I'll do my best, but invariably, everything that is taught behind this pulpit needs to be double-checked with Scripture. It needs to be looked at and examined through the light of God's Word. There will be times when you may find that I have not correctly interpreted or expressed or rightly used the Word of God. I'm human. I'm prone to err. When that happens, you follow the Bible and not the man. You follow God, not the man. And that's so important to do. Your growth as a Christian is dependent upon your relationship with Jesus Christ and God, not with me. We don't want to uplift the pastor beyond, and the pastor should never be uplifted to be equal with God. Never. I heard a clip one time of some girls, teen girls. They sang a song to their pastor that went something like, I know some cheer that, we love you, preacher. Yes, we do. We don't love anybody as much as you, which is not good. Those girls should go home to their fathers and say, we love you, daddy. Yes, we do. We don't love anybody as much as you, not to the pastor. That's dangerous to do. What we want is that the pastor should be the greatest servant of all. And so anything that is taught here, you want to look at into the light of God's word. So today we're going to look at what I believe all these are fundamental as far as our growth goes. But today we're looking at praise and worship. Praise and worship. Now, we're not a Pentecostal church here, so we're not going to be doing some crazy things here. But some of that is not necessarily wrong. If you are honoring God and you are, if somebody lifts up their hands to the Lord, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I think we can get judgmental on people who love to love on God. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We want to be able to praise and worship our God. And so there is a difference, though, between praise and worship. Part of worship can be praise. It's very true. But there is a distinction between praising God and worshiping God. We're going to discuss the differences because I think for your Christian growth, your spiritual growth, it's important that you understand the difference between praising God and worshiping God. And what to do both and what one means and what the other means and how you do them. So we're going to begin here in Psalms 150. If you haven't had your Bible reading, we'll get that in today. We'll read an entire chapter for you. All right, Psalm 150, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Now, before I go any further, I want you to notice how many times the word praise appears in these six verses. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Those are musical instruments. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It's a great little chapter. It gives us a an outline, if you will, of things that we are to praise God for. Now, sometimes I've had people, and I've even myself wondered in the past, why does God need our praise? I mean, that, if everybody did that, Psalms 150, to me, I'd get such a big head that you would literally wouldn't be able to fit me in this building anymore. We would get that way. Our ego and pride, oh, we'd get all pumped up, puffed up, bigger than we'd think of ourselves more than we ought to. Now, the simple answer is God isn't us. And now, God doesn't have a sin nature, so God's not going to get puffed up with pride, first of all. But there's another thing. It's not that God needs our praise as much as we need to give him our praise. By giving him our praise, we open up avenues. In fact, if you go back to Psalms 149, it talks about how praise unlocks the power of God. It ties us together. Is it this honor hath all his saints, he says in Psalms 149, this power of praise, that when we praise the Lord, we can bind it. When, you know, sometimes when you're in trouble, try this sometime. Sometimes when you're in trouble and things are not going well for you, instead of saying, God, please help me, God save me, God fix my problem, why don't you instead say, God, thank you, and spend a bunch of time getting excited about your Savior, praising him, lifting him up, because that invokes the power of God in your life. I'm not saying that the first one, we asking God to, is wrong. It's not. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for us, right? Everything we should be praying about. But if you can get your mind on God's goodness and you begin to praise him, that you have the breath to even pray, that you can still lift up your voice and praise God. If that all the good things that God has done for you to count your blessings, if you can get into a praise frame of mind, you may be surprised at what that does for you and how that calls down the power of God in your life. Praise is a powerful tool. And it's not so much that God needs it as it is that we need to give it. And in some cases, we need to glorify God, to lift God up so that others see him. You know, the people around us live in darkness, and we're to be a light and the salt of the earth. Remember, the Bible teaches us to be the light unto the world. But what are we light? What are we showing them with this light? What are they supposed to see in this light? Is it us? No, it's God. And one of the ways that we can get people to see God is by praising God, giving him the glory, giving him the praise, worship him. And when people realize, oh, wow, you have such joy in your life, where does it come from? And they see us having a joy in our Savior, having a joy in our God. What we're doing is we're lifting God up for them to have to see and find hope. Because if you're lifting yourself up, like a lot of our politicians want to do, I'm the greatest ever, I'll fix all your problems, well, you're going to be sorely disappointed. A man at best is still imperfect, a sinner. It doesn't matter who the politician is. I mean, so many people, and it disturbs me a little bit. So many people are looking to this next election as if whoever they elect is going to fix all the problems. That's just not going to happen. It's just not. We're all going to be disappointed in whoever we elect if we're expecting them to fix all our problems and all the issues in our life. We don't want the government to replace our God. We want to be able to look toward our God. Now, I think you ought to vote. Personal opinion. I think that if we have the freedom to vote, they'll take it away if we don't exercise it. So we need to do that. We need to vote. And we have there in Arizona here, there have the Proposition 139, which is going to allow abortion all the way up to practically birth. We need to vote against this type of thing. And if you're not registered to vote, register just for that. Of course, today I think might be the last day to register. I don't know. Or yesterday. But that, if you're not going to vote for anything else, vote against that. Now, I don't want this to get become political here, but my point is, but we have that opportunity. But yes, I think we should vote. But we don't count our government. We don't want to replace our God with government. We don't want to do that. And part of praising God, part of worshiping God, allows us to glorify and uplift our Savior. And that's important. Let's look at a couple of the verses here. Psalms 18:3. Psalms 18:3 says this: I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. This is actually a scripture song. I will call upon the Lord. Did we sing that one recently? Or is that just a different one? Who is worthy to be praised? And then it's kind of a repeat song. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord. But notice this. He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy. We need to praise the Lord. Psalms 138, verse number 4 says this: All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. So it doesn't matter what your position is. Everybody is commanded to praise the Lord. Amen? Romans 15:11 says this again: Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Praising the Lord is something that all people are supposed to do, because God has had an impact in everybody's life. Isaiah 12:5 talks about, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is a form of praise. But singing is a type of praise. Isaiah 12:5 says, sing unto the Lord. Psalms 33:1 says that we can praise him with shouting, getting excited. You ever gone to a ball game before and hear people shouting? What are they doing? Aren't they praising their team? They're rooting for their team. When their team makes a touchdown, hits a home run, makes a buzzer beater shot, goal, makes a field goal, whatever, people shout. It's a type of praise. When's the last time God has done something for you and you just got so excited that something just burst out of your mouth? You got excited about what God has done. We read in Psalms 150 here that we are supposed to praise him with musical instruments. So we have a piano, we have an organ, and we've had Brother Tristan play the guitar. And one of these days when I work up the nerve, I'll play the cello, and we will, and if you have the ability to play a musical instruments, and play, one of the reasons why I picked up to learn the cello was so that for my personal worship of God, it mentions strings instruments, mentions percussion instruments. Now, I'm not a big fan of drums, but it mentions the cymbals, which is a percussion instrument. Talks about a variety of things, of instruments to praise God. Amen? Some of the word praise here, the word praise is translated in a variety of different ways in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's also translated as the word celebrate. So when we praise God, we're celebrating something he's done for us. It's a celebration. When we have a celebration of what the Lord has done, that is a type of praise. Glory. We give glory to God. That's a type of praise. Boasting, not self-boasting, boasting about what God has done. Hey, let me tell you what God has done for me. Or boasting about what God has done. That's a type of praise. That's a good type of boasting. Now you tell me how good you are, that's a different type of boasting. Singing. That's also another word that's translated praise, but translated singing. And so singing can be one reason why we do try to have songs. We want to sing, and that we, and our praise time in our afternoon service is designed specifically to have a lot of singing, because that's a type of praise. And I hope that when we sing those songs, you're actually listening to the words. And that the words that as you sing, you're like, you mean it. Because it's a sweet, sweet sound unto our God. Hey, but what about worship? The Bible talks about worshiping. In fact, Exodus 34:34 says this. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, But it says, thou shalt not worship any other gods but me, he says. Somebody want to look that up, see if you can find it? Verse 14, is that it? Okay, read that for me, verse 14. There it is. I typed it in wrong. I make 3 mistakes a year. That's my second. But we should worship no other God. I'm not sure you're laughing. But we should worship God alone. God says that we're to worship him. Psalms 95:6 says this, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalms 96:9 says, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Psalms 97:7 says, confounded be all they that serve graven images and that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. He's in all these other things. They need to worship God, the Lord. Amen. Psalms 99:5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. For he is holy. He is holy. Exalt ye the Lord our God. Psalms 99:9, just a couple verses later on. 99:9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. If that was so important to say within a span of 4 verses, he says almost exact same thing twice. God doesn't repeat himself because he forgot what he said. God repeats himself to emphasize the importance of something. So in the span of just a few verses, he says, worship the Lord. Worship him. Exalt the Lord. Worship. Our God is holy. It's an important thing, important part of every Christian is to worship God. Worship our Savior. The word worship is also translated as bowed down, obeisance, reverence, and humbly. So the idea of worship is coming and kneeling, if you will, or bowing ourselves, doing obeisance before God. It's a humbling of ourselves. It's a lessening of ourselves and an exalting of God. Does that make sense? That's why exalt and worship are often paired together in the Bible. We exalt, lift up, and humble ourselves. So what is the difference here? I might be able to explain the difference between what worship is by explaining the difference between worship and praise. Let's look at it this way. Praising is like, it's getting excited about what God has done for you. But worshiping involves humbling ourselves before our God. Praising God is the joyful recounting of all that God has done for us. When you get excited about things that God has done for you, I mean, no one here has perfect everything that you think you want or need, whether it be health or money or whether it be the size of your house or the size of your bank account or whether or not you've got X number of friends or how popular or powerful you might be. No one has probably that perfect life in that regard. But the joyful recounting of what you do have is what praising is. Praising God is always closely tied to being thankful. And being thankful is closely tied to being thankful. Thoughtful. It means you got to think about what God has done. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we get so caught up in the negative that it becomes all we can see is the negative. We can no longer see the goodness of God. We can no longer see how, just the other day, we were driving home from my son's soccer game, and he had misplaced his phone, so we had to go back to the field to see if we can find it. But then we're leaving there, and right away I came to a red light. It's like, it's a red light. We wait for a while, we turn, and then I hit another red light, and it's going to be one of those. Where, you know what I'm talking about? You hit every single red light. And my wife, she's kind of getting on me. She goes, look on the bright. You going to get all upset about that? And I said, I sure am. I'm going to make a big deal out of this. I'm going to get mad. The whole world, it's a grand conspiracy. And she's laughing at me. And sure enough, like five lights in a row, red light, red light, red light, red light, red light. And then finally, we got to a green light. We're all cheering, yay, the conspiracy's over. We get so caught up in the negative things that we can't see the positive things. Am I right? No, but you must have prayed for me that. It's your fault. And Brother Jamie prayed for patience for the preacher, and look what happened. Stuck behind a bunch of red lights. Yeah, thanks a lot. But we do that, do we not? We tend to only focus on the negative and not. And when you're thoughtful, when you force yourself to look at what God has done for you and get excited about it, He does a lot for your spirit. It changes your spirit. Someone said this. Someone said that worship is the art of losing oneself in adoration of another. So worshiping God is the art of just losing oneself and just loving God. Loving God. You don't have to do this. I'm not saying this is how you do it. But when's the last time that you've gone to pray and you couldn't say anything and you spent the whole time crying because you felt overwhelmed with God's love? I'm not saying, that's never happened to me. Well, that doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. And everybody worships God differently. Everybody praises God differently. We can't look at one person and says, they must not love God. People will say amen. Some people will raise their hands, and other people will say, they shouldn't be doing that in church. We have to be careful. Everybody, I have five boys, and those five boys all express their love for me in completely different ways. Jason expresses his love to me by ignoring me. Yeah, he loves me a tremendous amount. Every kid does it differently, and I don't expect, and if I went to one kid and said, Jason, how come you don't love me like Kyle loves me? You need to learn to love me like he does. I can't do that. That's not him. And every one of us with a unique personality, we're going to come and worship and love and praise God uniquely, differently. So I'm not telling you how to do it, because how I do it will not be how you do it. You following me? The question I have is, it's a rhetorical question. You don't need to respond. Is, are you praising God? Are you worshiping God your way? Are you doing it? Have you ever lost yourself and being awestruck that you have a God who loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on a cross for you? When's the last time you just said, wow? Praise is an activity that you do to honor what God has done for you. Worship is a lifestyle. Something that you should be doing all the time. It should always be in a state of worshipfulness. Have you ever... met somebody who has hero worship of like a sports star? They can't stop talking about them. You know what I'm talking about? They know every stat. And when you talk about, okay, let's talk, you know, when you talk about like basketball, who's the GOAT? The greatest of all time. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and they've got ardent backers on both sides. People who will, literally people come to blows over it. And they've got their stats. They explain this and that and this and that. And I mean, it's almost like it's a hero worship. And they can't get enough. You walk into this teen boy's room and there's a life-size poster of LeBron James on the wall. When's the last time we've done a hero worship with our God and our Savior? Because it's something we do all the time. You know, ask this kid, what's his favorite topic? Oh, let's talk about LeBron James. Because that's now. Back in my day, it was Michael Jordan. And though I'm not a fan of either. Michael Jordan almost got me killed. I'm serious. I was preaching in the Cook County Jail, which is a jail in Chicago. And Michael Jordan had retired, but he came out of retirement, and he's playing his very first game on a Sunday afternoon. I didn't know this. First game coming back out of retirement. What I always did, I always went to the jail, and I always walked into the rec room and rearranged the chairs, then turned off the TV and did different things and got ready and then made my rounds and invited people to a little service I was going to have. That Sunday I walked in and the place was jam-packed. I mean, there was no place to hardly stand. This is Chicago. Most of the people there were black. And I walked in and I'm thinking, you know, I went like this. I said, they're here to hear me preach. This is great. So I did what I always did. There was a basketball game playing on the TV and I just turned it off. Oh man, they came unglued. They exploded. I mean, they had me cornered. I mean, I was going to get shipped. I'm telling you, they had me cornered and I was so scared. I was on a bench and I was swinging my Bible back and forth trying to keep them back. And I was skinny like Jace at that time, and these guys weren't so skinny. And I was screaming at them, "Who's your God, anyways? Jordan or Jehovah?" And that was, and the guards had to come. I mean, with shields, knock these guys aside, took me, put my head down, and ran me out of the room. Yeah, Michael Jordan almost got me killed. So, but that level, I mean, think about that. But that level of attention to a man playing basketball, that level of drive, that intensity, when that is kind of what we need for our God. We have it for a man who can put a ball through a hoop, but not for our God, who sent his son to die on a cross for us. Yeah. Someone once said that praise is the fruit of the lips while worship is the fruit of the heart. Worship is about love and appreciation, and praise is about an outward communication from the actions that God has done for us. Praise can be a very public thing, but worship is often much more a private thing. Through praise, we speak to God, but through worship, we can listen. Worship is about getting you in the right frame of mind to listen, to hear what God has to say to your heart. When you worship God, it opens you up to His Spirit. When we praise, we are giving what God is due Him. It's us talking to God. Both are important to the Christian life. When we as a Christian can learn to both praise and worship, and sometimes in your devotional time, it might be wise to spend some time just praising God. Might be. And worship is not something I think you can force. I think worship is a lifestyle. I think it's something that you come to. That as you learn more about what God is doing, what God has done for you, it changes your heart. and your heart yearns as a deer panteth for the water, the song says, the Bible says, as a heart. Same thing. So my soul longeth after thee. That's a type of worship. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your goodness to us, your love for us. I pray now that you'd help us to learn to be praised, to praise you, and to worship you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.